Previously on Apocalypse Video.
Is that what I think it is?
You see, David, I told you the movies could be true sometimes.
We told you we'd be back, motherfuckers. Now you shall die a terrible, terrible death at the hands of Mecha Mothra.
Mecha Mothra?
Is this the end of Apocalypse Video?
In the not-too-distant future, four movie fans awaken from a nuclear nightmare, only to discover that the world is a barren, movie-less wasteland. However, the destiny of our four heroes is not set. A chance discovery in Sector 2, and an unfortunate accident that rips the very soul from one of their own, will lead them down the path of bringing the lost art of cinema back to the wasteland.
Welcome to Apocalypse Video.
Whoa, whoa, wait,
you're right. We are assholes, and we're sorry.
Yeah, right, we're sorry.
Can you ever forgive us?
Why should we?
But look, we don't get too many visitors like you out here in Sector 2, and most of the people that do come here either attack us with flamethrowers or try to shoot arrows at our heads.
Yeah, and have you seen the size of my head? It's fucking huge!
So, you can understand that it's hard for us to trust people sometimes. It's a hard life out there in the wasteland, as I'm sure you can attest.
Your pledge of forgiveness seems to be heartfelt. But we're still not sure if we can trust you.
Right, okay, I tell you what. Why don't we bury the hatchet? How about we go find those Skittles, and then you can be on your way, and we can forget this whole thing ever happened.
All right. But no tricks, video man?
No tricks. Of course not. Why don't you and your giant monster of death wait out here, and I'll have Chad run a scan to track down the Skittles in the storeroom. It's a big storeroom, you see, so it could take some time to locate them.
Very well. We'll be waiting. We have our eyes on you.
Thank you.
What the hell are we gonna do?
Yeah, man, what's to stop killing us after you give them the candy?
Chad, can you run a scan on that beast outside? Can you find any weaknesses?
Negative. Its armor is comprised of some sort of material that my sensors cannot breach.
Oh shit, we're dead, man.
Yeah, game over, man, game over.
However, its body construction does bear similarities to the Mechagodzilla creature on the film print I have loaded on the projector. I may be able to analyze the film and postulate a weakness within the monster from the data.
Now we're talking!
What makes you think we can trust Chad?
What choice do we have, Mike? Chad, load the trailer. Let's kill this mecha fucker.
Affirmative.
A bionic monster, a menacing giant, an awesome machine unleashed with a deadly task. Godzilla, the only hope for Earth's survival. Godzilla versus the bionic monster. Godzilla strives to win supremacy in a fight to the end. Will Godzilla triumph? The Earth survive? Godzilla versus the bionic monster, an earth-shaking movie. Rated G.
All right, well, that was Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla. Again, another, we mentioned this in the previous episode, another film print that only has orange and reds, it looks like.
I mean, hey, when we're able to watch a genuine 35mm print of a Godzilla movie here in this, the wasteland, who are we to complain about a missing, certainly, who are we to complain to a Martin Huth about a missing green and blue tint?
Well, assuming that we get out of this alive, I hope none of you will complain to a Martin Hoof, because then we will be dead for sure if he finds out we stole these film prints. So let's just keep that on the down low.
Mm-hmm. He doesn't matter. He has plenty of movies. He's not watching this.
Do you think this print was any noticeably different from the Destroy All Monsters print?
I think it was redder.
It looked exactly the same. I guess it didn't have as many like nicks and scratches on it, I suppose.
I think it was more red than the last one.
Yeah, I think the other one looked a bit more faded. This one just looks flat out just red.
Yeah. The other one was, like you said, an Instagram filter. This one is definitely like watching it like, oh, okay, the blue and green is just gone and it's just red hanging out there.
Yeah, for sure. It's also important to note this one. So again, we must have been watching an American version, because instead of Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla, we get Godzilla versus the Cosmic Monster. And then instead of credits, we just cut right to the movie starting. It just starts.
Yeah, it was like someone inserted like this like thing like over the original.
In our last episode, we were just talking about the different names that Destroy All Monsters was called around when it was released internationally in Spain or whatever. And
yeah, and Cosmic Monster wasn't even for this one.
Yeah, like what simpletons that they would name their Godzilla movie something so stupid. And then to go to this one of like Godzilla versus the Cosmic Monster.
The original one. It was actually the first time this came out in the States, I believe, it was called Godzilla versus the Bionic Monster.
Ooh.
But then I guess I don't remember which studio it was, maybe Universal. They had like the $6 million man or the Bionic Woman or something.
Got
like that.
Involved.
And then they got involved, and then they sued, and so quickly they're like, oh, shit, all right, the Cosmic Monster, fuck.
Do you think that they thought Mechagodzilla wouldn't make sense because people in America in, like, the early 70s didn't have a concept of a mech?
I don't know. It sounds like the coolest name ever. Like, how could you not go
with
that?
It does, because we know what a mech is. But in the early 70s, if you didn't know what a mech was, like, if you'd never heard that word before or had any anything with like a giant robot,
is this the first? Well
I could see two people back then being pronouncing it like Mecha Godzilla, like what.
Well, because as we said before, like everyone watching in the States was just from the South, I guess.
But
it's hard to say, because I can't go back to a time in my memory before I knew the concept of a mecha blank. So it's like, at least in Japan, there was a Mecha King Kong movie, I believe, like King Kong versus something, or King Kong escapes and he fights like a mechanized version of King Kong or whatever.
Oh dear
so this
God.
Had actually happened prior to this movie.
I'm seeing in the databanks right now, a picture of Mecha King Kong. It's Mechani Kong. It's
well,
something.
See, that seems a bit more like, you were saying, like, would they pronounce it like Mika? It's like Mechani makes this, that if I'm a simpleton from the United States in the early 70s, I would see Mechani and I would imagine, I would think, oh, like mechanical.
Yeah.
Like a mechanical version. But Mecha, I kind of see your point. But again, I can't go back to a time before I knew that Mecha meant Mecha, like robot version of blank. You
know I can see the studio executive room right now, Dave, during this conversation, maybe having this exact one, and just like, Dave, I get it. Maybe we can find a way to get there, but why don't we just call this thing the fucking Bionic Zilla? Everyone knows what a bionic thing is. They saw the Bionic Woman.
Universal's on the phone. We can't use bionic. We have to call it something else.
Okay. What was it? The fucking creature from outer space. What did they call it? The cosmic monster.
I prefer the Cosmic Monster, sir.
Yeah, people know the Cosmos. That's the popular show with Carl Sagan.
And scene. But yeah, I don't know. That kind of thing always makes me laugh. Like, it's kind of like when you're looking at trivia for old movies like this, especially old foreign films that released in the United States years later. Like, it makes me laugh, these little bits of trivia where they had to change the name or just the different names that these movies would come up under.
Yeah.
Because it also made it kind of fun to kind of it kind of made it difficult to find these movies sometimes, like, because you'd be like, well, I think it's called this, but it might be called this, as far as a video store back in the day, like, right. Cosmic Monster. Like, it was interesting when the alternate titles would come up, and as a kid, it would just confuse me, like, I've never seen Godzilla versus the Cosmic Monster, when do I see that movie,
Yeah.
Shit like that.
Yeah. Oh, it's just Mechagodzilla. All right.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, what the? Yeah, exactly. I think I would look at it now. I'm like, what the hell is the bionic monster? Holy shit.
It just sounds like such a 50s American sci-fi name.
Yeah.
To say, like, versus the bionic monster or the cosmic monster. Like, it seems like a holdover from, like, sci-fi B movies of the 50s.
Yeah, definitely. It reminds me of, like, Weird Tales, the, like, horror fantasy serial where, like, H.P. Lovecraft was going to start from. The covers of that are always, like, the cosmic shape from outer space or, you know, like, shit like that. It has a vibe to it. It has a panache. I don't think it's terrible, but Mechagodzilla is the better title.
Well, for sure. And is it fair to say, at least for us in America, like, was this the first thing? Like it's because of these movies why Mecha and then blank is a thing, right?
I'd say so. I don't know. There's probably things before that with, like, aliens, you know? Like, there's probably something.
Like, calling something a Mecha blank.
Yeah, it's always been a very Japanese thing, kind of, so.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, it helps that Mechagodzilla in this movie is just so cool. We talked a little bit last episode about our history with Godzilla. I was always love Godzilla, but Mechagodzilla was my favorite thing, and I had a really cool Mechagodzilla toy with the things that shoot out the fingers. That was pretty cool. I think it was like a cool toy that was probably like 10 years old, so it was my parents were able to get it like kind of cheap. But it was a toy that punched above the pay grade of most of my average toys. but it did seem old, and there's just something really cool about the look of Mechagodzilla. Like big and dumb and fat, and like you have all the rivets on like every part of its body. It's a good looking machine.
Well, I get this thing. I get the sense that like this is, if I'm not mistaken, I think this was the second to last Godzilla movie of this era, the Showa era, and I kind of get the sense that maybe like this almost feels like them Toho being like, we need a cool toy. You know what I mean? Kids are watching these movies. We need a cool toy. This is like the Turbo Man of the Godzilla series. It's like, we need it to fucking do everything. We need it to shoot lasers out of its eyes. We need it to fly. We need it its fingers to shoot rockets.
You can almost see the like toy ad of like, its fingers shoot like rockets, just like the movie. Yeah. Like, there's a lot, but it works though. It's so cool. It totally like, does. It's cool in the movie.
Yeah,
this was
great.
Like actually a brief uptick, like trivia wise, like box office wise. This movie represented a slight uptick in the box office because up to this point, the box office had been kind of declining for the Godzilla movies. This one represented a slight uptick. And I say slight; it wasn't gigantic, but it was a slight uptick in the box office. So clearly, Mechagodzilla was like pretty popular at the time.
Nice. I think this is a much snappier movie than the last one.
Oh yeah.
It right off the bat. I mean, it pretty much quickly it. I know it doesn't start out with a fight, but the first kind of memorable thing I have is you have Godzilla fighting Angliosaurus, the one we were just talking, Anguirus,
like a sidekick.
Yeah, it's kind of it worked well seeing it after this because we just saw kind of the beginning of their friendship in Destroy All Monsters, and now after they're old pals, Godzilla starts fighting him, and it's like, wait, the radio guy is back. That's not Godzilla. And you have that great kind of cue to the audience that something's wrong because when he's growling and doing the Godzilla
it's
like
not the
roar,
trademark Godzilla
it's not
roar.
Quite what we're used to hearing. It's a little different. And
the music's not there either. There's not the
Well, instead you get the snappy like da 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 da. It's like. Like that's the music in this movie is so bizarre. It's like upbeat, like kind of jazzy, like dance music a little bit.
Well, that was just the weird thing about this movie is that other than like the, you know, the freaking kaiju fighting stuff, it was like a weird, shitty 70s kind of James Bond ripoff kind of thing.
with Planet of the Apes thrown in for good measure.
Yeah, like it was like shot different. It's crazy.
You were saying about how these movies become needlessly complicated, Ryan. This is such a good example of that. Like, the movie's called Godzilla vs. Mechagodzilla. They introduce Mechagodzilla as Godzilla in disguise pretty early on. Okay, let them fight. But then we have to have this like subplot of like a prophecy and aliens
like
that are
spies
like
spies and aliens.
The prophetic
subplot. The subplot with the fucking with the King Caesar monster is needless. It doesn't need to be there.
Why?
The funny thing, I'm looking at it right now, what the actual prophecy is that sets it up. And you might imagine, like, this is the kind of thing, okay, like, when a fucking robot Godzilla descends from the skies, that, like, that's what you want it to be, right? But even just looking at the prophecy of what's kind of foreshadowing this movie is, it becomes, like, so complicated by the end of the prophecy. I just, like, this is garbage. So what it says is, when the Black Mountain appears over the clouds, a huge monster will arise to try and destroy the world. But then, when the Red Moon sets and the sun rises in the west, two more shall appear to save humanity.
Which is kind of a funny prophecy, because it's just like, so everything's going to be all right at the end.
Yeah, it's the prophecy of prophecy. Like, there's going
to
be,
we don't really need to do anything, right?
Shit that happens, and then by the end of it, we're all good.
Yeah. And so basically they think that it's Godzilla, the prophecy, but that ends up actually not being the case. It's the Mecha Godzilla that's in disguise, which is
really
cool.
We've established in the last movie that Godzilla knows who his true enemies are, and it's the aliens. He's the defender of Earth, which I kind of like the naturalness that they put him in the character of, like, well, you want to root for him. I really do think it's kind of smart how they do it, as like, well, he just knows that he fears the aliens more, so he's willing to, like, destroy them. I think that's kind of a cool, like, makes sense, checks out.
Well, even the movie, I feel like, to a degree, even the characters within the movie, like, think of Godzilla as a friend, because, like, when Mecha Godzilla in his Godzilla outfit is fighting Anguirus, like, you see one of the guys in his car driving along while this is happening. He's like, something's wrong. Godzilla wouldn't fight his friend Anguirus like that.
They're buddies.
It's just like, they're buddies. And it just seems like people's, like, attitude towards Godzilla basically is more like, yeah, you know, Godzilla, he's just out there and he's just kind of doing his thing. You know, like, he doesn't seem to be looked upon in this movie as necessarily a threat until fake Godzilla destroys stuff, obviously. But, like, in general, prior to Mechagodzilla's incognito form appears, it's just like, people don't really seem to, it's like, Godzilla's on Monster Island doing his thing, and we don't bother him. He doesn't bother us.
Yeah, I think of Godzilla as sort of like a bear in the woods. Like, he's, you know, if you start poking Godzilla, he might fight back, but he's not out there to, like, do any harm or anything.
Yeah.
And so Mechagodzilla is not like that.
So, as I said in the last episode, I was a huge Godzilla fan growing up. One thing I want to fill you two in on, because I feel like you guys, it seems like you guys hadn't, you know, it's been a long time since you'd seen Godzilla movies prior to these two films we just watched. But in the film prior to this one, Godzilla vs. Mechagodzilla, there was a movie called Godzilla vs. Gigan. And in it, Godzilla and Anguirus, his buddy, like, full-on team up, and they go to fight these guys, and that's kind of the movie. But there's a scene in Godzilla vs. Gigan when they're in the water. They're going from Monster Island to fight the, you know, Gigan and King Ghidorah. And I shit you not, there's a scene in this scene when they're in the water going, Godzilla literally talks to Anguirus.
Like, does his mouth move?
Something as bad. He sounds like an old man. He's like, come on, Anguirus, let's go, buddy. And Anguirus is like, all right.
Is it like telepathy? Like, are they communicating to each other? Or does he, like, open his mouth to talk?
It's not like fucking Harvey, that old movie where, like, the horse talks and his lips move. Like,
Mr. Red.
Like, literally, the fucking the guy in the suit just turns and he just sort of, like, motions, like, he, you know, his arm. He motions Anguirus, like, come on.
Come on!
I just remember that.
He's his old buddy.
It was his old buddy, but, like, yeah, like, it, because while I was watching this movie, I just couldn't help but think back to that scene in the movie prior to this. And in my mind, that sort of epitomizes this era of Godzilla and the idea that the characters in the movie think of Godzilla as, like, a hero and not an enemy.
Yeah, you're giving me, the way you're describing it, it's making me think of the Adam West Batman. Like, come on, old chub.
Yeah. But that's what makes this scene so great, this fight between fake Godzilla and Anguirus, because, like, in what is otherwise a complete kids movie, Saturday morning cartoon style thing, this fight is surprisingly, like,
harsh.
Brutal.
Harsh off the bat. I mean, there's monster blood.
Oh, yeah. There's blood.
This is really...
like, he does a fucking King Kong and, like, pulls, like, Anguirus's, like, jaw open or something.
I could see this being, like, kind of like the Last Jedi of the Godzilla movies at this point. Like, really subverting expectations. I could see the audience being, you know, like, not my Godzilla, you know, or getting ready to do that, of course. But then, you know, we realize that it's not
Well, and just the way that fake Godzilla, like, just mercilessly, he just throws Anguirus' ass to the ground. He's just like, fuck you. Like, his mannerisms are very much like a guy, like, in a street fight.
Yeah, it's a pretty harsh beatdown. Isn't he, like, stomping on his face?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
And then at one point, doesn't he grab him from his tail and just kind of chuck him?
Yeah.
This was a surprisingly brutal fight. Like we weren't the only ones watching this too. Like,
you know, just the revelation of the way it kind of reveals to you, if the roar wasn't a clue enough that it is Mechagodzilla, is parts of Godzilla's flesh are like ripped open and you see like the metal underneath.
Yeah. Doesn't that come later?
No, that's it happens over time, but you do definitely at the end of this first fight, you get like, ooh, what's that? Like,
I think what happens is that doesn't happen until later. In this scene, after the wreckage and all that, like when the guy comes down from his car and he picks up like a piece of space metal.
He literally calls it, I think it's like space titanium or something.
Space titanium.
Like they're looking at it and like a scientist looks at it and he's like, oh, this is space titanium.
That's how they know it's not a real Godzilla, basically.
Yeah.
It's then the fight after where Godzilla, like, I guess he's like inside a warehouse or something. It's kind of unclear. Like, this fight goes on like in this
looks
in
like
this
a power plant right or something. Like,
yeah, it's like he erupts out of a power plant. You're like, what the fuck? How did he get there?
It's a place where you can make a lot of explosions. That's where he's at.
I guess. Even as a kid watching the scene, it never made sense. I'm like, why is Godzilla inside of a building? That doesn't make any sense. How did he fit in there? Mm. He literally erupts from out of this building. You're like, huh?
He's just under the ground, you know, or something.
Since when did Godzilla ever tunnel under the ground like Anguirus?
I don't know.
This movie's horseshit. I guess it doesn't matter. It's just, like you said, it's like Saturday morning kids logic. Like there's like a giant ass explosion. He comes out and then it's Godzilla versus Godzilla.
Yeah. What more do you need? You're like, it sounds like the, I don't even want to say its name, but the old YouTube series back in the day of what, like cinema fucking garbage or whatever. Like Godzilla number five, Godzilla. We didn't tunnel. We established that only Angora can tunnel. It's,
I'm just saying, as just watching this movie now with a critical eye and not a kid eye, it's just like, again, granted, like from the, it doesn't really matter in this movie. It's just something I noted now.
You know what does matter in this movie is there are a lot of explosions. There are so many explosions in this, and it's pretty great. They're all awesome.
Almost to like an unsafe degree. Like,
the people on in the suits at the very least. Like, I always think about watching these movies, like, oh man, the sweating that must have gone on. But can you imagine being in that suit, the hot lights, already, and then just explosions going off? I get that they're small, but still, like, the heat is, these poor people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was nuts. Like, that we talk about, like, how differently, like, the just human on the ground shit was shot compared to the last one and all.
Wait, humans on the ground? What?
You know, like, just like the human story. We say it's the B plot, but it's actually the A plot of these movies, usually, kind of.
Well, yeah.
But, they, like, this one was, like, you know, handheld and kind of, like, shitty, like, just kind of, like, just so much more different compared to the other one, because it's just, like, just in that, like, 6 years or whatever since the last one, or I guess there was ones in between that, but from
the 70s,
the jump,
baby.
Yeah, like, this jump to the 70s is just so much different. It was nuts. Like, the other one's just, like, this kind of cold sci-fi, you know, kind of static, and then all of a sudden it's like, it's the 70s.
Yeah, got like a like Taxi Driver going through the cave.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Well, it's funny, like, so the film style may have changed the way they shot it, but the story is basically exactly the same as it was in 68.
Yeah.
They're aliens and they're coming to kill us all, and that's your story.
Yeah.
They're using monsters to do it, and that's it.
The smart scientist puts two and two together and sees space titanium built machine that's more advanced than we have on Earth. Must be aliens. I think a smart assumption.
What he says actually is like, the space titanium, I can only conclude that he was built by spacemen.
Yes. Yeah. The one thing I will conclude, men. No space women built men. This. But the aliens are pretty different this time.
Like you said, it's much more snappy because there is a bit of the problem where it's like they go back and forth, like the humans to the alien hideout. You know, it's like they're there and then they leave and then they come back again. Yeah. It's a bit of that still, but it's a lot more snappy.
And there's more moments of just like I mentioned in the last episode about the gas. Where it's like, well, that's a crazy, dumb scene. There's more of that in this, I think. And it constantly find new ways to be weird. I mean, just just like the fact of like how they present the aliens over like, so they're the aliens in this movie are humans. But then if they get shot, they turn into like Planet of the Apes people, like straight up. Yeah. They probably have the costumes lying around somewhere or something. I don't know if like they made their way over to Japan, like what the deal was with that or why they went with like
funnier thing is once they're revealed to be Planet of the Ape people, they can only go, they can only talk in grunts at that point. Like,
yeah. Yeah. Isn't the first one that we see go full transformation when there's some reason, like they're on a cruise ship and the,
it gets back to that whole subplot we were talking about with the prophecy, which is completely unneeded. It's just like, so the humans in this movie are trying to, they find out about this prophecy and they're trying to get this like king, this the statue of this giant monster, King Caesar. And
they're basically trying to wake up a second monster so that Godzilla and this other monster can team up against Mechagodzilla.
Yeah, that's the whole movie. The humans are on the run and the aliens are trying, the aliens send out hitmen essentially to try to steal this thing so that this prophecy doesn't come to light.
Yeah.
That's another thing I appreciate about this movie. Even with the unneeded subplot, I understood what was happening at all times.
Yeah, and the characters were just like, they had a lot of spunk. Like the guy who was like in all black and had like the black hair and just always had a gun, was kind of
the Interpol agent.
Yeah, the Interpol agent. Yeah, he was like, reminded me of like Spike from Cowboy Bebop or something, but more ridiculous, or like a Han Solo type, but more ridiculous. He was fun, like anytime he was on screen. But yeah,
I mentioned before, we didn't watch this movie alone. Like, we did have an audience for this movie. Like, we did let some people in. I mean, it's fun to share the movies like this. You know, I didn't want it just be us watching this. So we did invite some people into the store, even though we're in crisis mode right now.
Some critters.
I'm surprised they came in, frankly.
Well, it was telling that these movies still have power, because the audience that we watched it with, they lapped this shit up. I mean, they laughed at the Interpol agent, they laughed at all the cheesiness, and like when Godzilla throws down, they cheered.
Oh yeah, definitely. It's really nice to watch this in a movie theater and see it like play pretty much how I imagined it did back in the day.
Yeah, I thought it was amazing. But anyway, yeah, Interpol agent. Like, aside from the Godzilla fights, like, Interpol agent was my favorite part of the movie, because, like he said, he's very smarmy, he's very Han Solo-like, and he has one of the greatest lines, perhaps the greatest line in the movie, aside from, there must be spacemen. He goes, like, there's a line where they ask him, like, who the hell are you? And he's just like, he basically reveals himself to be an Interpol agent by saying, I'm from Interpol. And that's the whole story.
Oh, yeah.
Again, I have to wonder, we watched a dub of this, so I have to wonder if some of these lines maybe played less silly in the Japanese subtitled version.
I do like the line about where the aliens are from, where they're like, they're from the third planet around from the black hole. Like, they're like giving coordinates like you would give description of like where the bodega's at, like, oh, third down from the black hole.
Which, if you're any of the humans, you're like, what the fuck does that mean to me?
Yeah, what black hole? There's a lot of black holes in space.
The third one.
Oh, God. But yeah, the subplot in this movie, I mean, it's needless, but nevertheless, I think it's still kind of fun, because it results in one of the best scenes in the movie. So so there's the whole fight. Godzilla's fighting Mechagodzilla. He's kind of getting his... Oh, no, that doesn't happen yet. So Mechagodzilla's about to go on the warpath.
We see Godzilla train before anything. One of my favorite things I've seen in a Godzilla movie is
he basically charges up Goku style.
It's more like Vegeta, I think, going Super Saiyan, because he's like on the, it's like the scene where Vegeta's on the planet that's like being destroyed, and he's having to charge up by being in like the storm and the rocks are coming at him. It's kind of like Godzilla here. He's like in a lightning storm, just being hit by lightning, like and you see like the charge around his, that's like all that scene. It goes on for like 5 minutes. It's great. Wordless, just Godzilla roaring and getting hit with lightning and charging up. It's the poor
actor inside the Godzilla suit probably frying to death.
Yeah, it was probably real lightning they were striking him with.
Anyway, but yeah, so like I said, you get to the B plot and the humans finally, they retrieve the statue, they put it up, and we get one of the best scenes in the movie where the Japanese girl, the descendant of something, it doesn't matter, the descendant of the people who made this prophecy, she goes out on the beach and she does this song that lasts for like 5 minutes and it is amazing.
It's so good because it starts out as like, well, you have to sing the ancient song to awaken Little Caesar. Okay.
King Caesar.
Little Caesar. And she starts
King
singing.
King Caesar, Mike. You keep saying Little Caesar.
I know. Little Caesars. King Caesar. Pizza Pizza. So she's like singing. She's singing the ancient like melody to awaken it, and it turns out the ancient melody is like a 70s pop song. And it's like really good because like she sings it and you kind of get to the point where in any other movie it would be like, well, that's the song. But then she goes into like a second verse.
Second verse, and it just keeps on going.
It was so good. Yeah. And the whole time isn't like Mechagodzilla like marching ominously towards her, kind of
he's
like
slowly marching towards, like, all right, let's go kill King Caesar. Dong, 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 dong.
Yeah, it's a good song.
And what's funny about King Caesar, he kind of sucks.
Yeah, King Caesar is doing a whole lot here.
Get him out.
It's like, what is his power exactly? It's like he has like his eye beams.
His power is plot device.
Well, basically, it's like his only power is that, like, I guess he can punch and kick, and like if you shoot eye beams at him, he'll reflect them in his eyes and shoot them back at you, I guess.
It's a weird monster design too. It looks like a Jim Henson creature or something. Like, it's too furry to kind of fit in with like the vibe that most of the other monsters have, which in a way is kind of cool. I don't know in execution how I feel about the way it looks. It's I don't know. It has some stuff there that's kind of cool, but when you have the other new monster you're introducing is Mechagodzilla, yeah, it's kind of it's hard to compare.
Well, it's just unneeded. I don't know why this is here.
Yeah, again, needlessly complicated. Just you had the great scene of Godzilla charging up. How about instead of all the Little Caesar, King Caesar stuff, they just had like Mechagodzilla doing his training montage. I would have liked that.
And well, it's like, I feel like this is surprising to me. I've forgotten this, but in my memory, I felt like I remember Mechagodzilla destroying more stuff, but there's only the one scene where he destroys the city. He doesn't really destroy much.
Yeah, it's kind of that first one, and then that's where the Godzilla kind of comes out, right? Out of the ground.
Yeah,
most of the movie, Mechagodzilla is in like a state of disrepair, and like,
I remember how it usually is. And I feel like in these, whenever I'm like, "Oh shit, Mechagodzilla's on!" when I was like a kid, or even when I'm older, and then it's like always just him parked in the garage, you know.
I'm sorry, Ryan. The Mechagodzilla ride is closed for repairs.
Yeah, I know. The moose out front should have told you.
It's like the ice cream machine in McDonald's. It's always that condition.
Oh man, I miss the McFlurry. but we finally get the monster fight, and pretty cool stuff. And again, we get some more new powers with Mechagodzilla. He does that spinny thing with his head and creates like a fucking like barrier or some shit.
Yeah, he does. I love that he does like the Exorcist thing and turns his head around. And there's a cool the only moment I think King Caesar justifies his existence is in that final fight when Mechagodzilla like turns his face around fully backwards.
Oh, yes.
So he starts fighting like Godzilla and King Caesar at the same time as they're doing like a pincer attack onto him, shooting the hand lasers to one and the mouth laser to another.
And again,
that
more
is pretty
and more
cool.
Explosions.
Yeah. Yeah. They're all exploding. It's all pretty good.
You know what I think about King Caesar, though? I mean, I think he should share the same fate as that damn dinosaur from Destroy All Monsters. It's just fuck him. Get him out of here.
He's not as bad as the T-Rex.
That's
King
true.
King Caesar at least gave us the cool song.
Yeah, but just, I don't know.
He should have stayed just non-summoned.
Well, you do get a fun moment where, like, I can't remember which one, like, King Caesar or Godzilla, like, hold Mechagodzilla, and while the other monster, like, goes and, like, punches him or, like, kicks him or some shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You remember that? That was a fun moment.
Yeah, it's true.
Punch him back. Get him. It's just like, that's a fun moment.
It is. It's fun, too, like, the way that Mechagodzilla fights. I like that it's different than the way that Godzilla fights. Like, Godzilla is basically a wrestler in these movies. And Mechagodzilla is all about his gadgets, and like he's a from afar kind of fighter where he's just shooting rockets and shooting lasers. But once it gets up close, that's when Godzilla starts doing the damage.
Yeah, for sure. Well, yeah. Well, that's not entirely true. There is another moment like where Godzilla doesn't necessarily he doesn't rely on his wrestling skills. There's a moment where he like. I don't know what it is. I guess he like utilizes the lightning power he acquired earlier and like becomes magnetic somehow.
Oh yeah. Yeah, we see the payoff of like what he was doing there. He goes like Super Saiyan.
It's an electromagnetism.
Well, there's like a crazy moment where like all these power lights like fling onto Godzilla and he just sucks up the energy and then Mechagodzilla's trying to fly away that, like, and like
yeah, Mechagodzilla flies away and they're like, increase boosters. The pilots inside of Mechagodzilla say that. And he's like flying at the special effects are so common, like ridiculous of like, he's like slowing down and then, oh no, he starts to go back and he's going back to Godzilla.
Well, it just looks like a giant toy that someone has on a stick that's like shaking around.
Yeah. It's great. It's really good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, again, the audience was lapping it up. They were loving it. We were all laughing. Like this again, this one much more snappier. The fight scenes are a lot more kinetic, I think. It helps that there's a lot of explosions. But you just these moments like this make it a lot more fun where like inexplicably he's magnetic all of a sudden, Godzilla. You're like, okay, just roll with it.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe it's just Destroy All Monsters a little overcrowded. It's like the Spider-Man 3 of the Godzilla movies or something, you know? Just keep it small. Keep it.
This is more like the Iron Man 3 of the Godzilla.
Yeah. But yeah, Mechagodzilla is always fun. Like I always like Mecha Turtle was one of my favorite figures as a kid, and I just love, you know, hands that fly out, you know, rocket punches and all that shit's always so much fun. So
mechs are cool.
Mechs are badass, yeah.
Well, so much so that the next movie and the final movie in the Godzilla movie after this one was Terror of Mechagodzilla.
There was really just one more before that like 90s reboot.
No, well, it was I think if I'm not mistaken, it was a 10-year hiatus, 9 or 10-year hiatus. Terror of Mechagodzilla would be the next one after this a year later, and that would be the last one until Godzilla 1984, yeah. Or as it was known in America, 1985. That was kind of the birth of a new era. I don't know how you pronounce it, the Heisei era of Godzilla.
Interesting.
But that lasted up until the mid-90s, and then it would go on to the Millennium era or Millennium series with Godzilla 2000.
I remember Godzilla.
And then a whole new series of monster movies. And it's fun to note Mechagodzilla returned in both of those subsequent eras of Godzilla.
Yeah, they got to know Mechagodzilla.
So Mechagodzilla was definitely probably one of the more popular Godzilla enemies.
Oh, for sure. I mean, yeah, I mean, the crowd, we got a full packed theater in the wasteland. You don't get that with Destroy All Monsters. Well, I guess we did, but you don't, you know what I mean?
Well,
like,
we had one for that too, but it's like, yeah. I felt like the excitement during this showing, Mechagodzilla was a lot more palpable than it was for Destroy All Monsters.
Definitely. I mean, I'm looking at the poster right now for Mechagodzilla, and it's Godzilla and Mechagodzilla, and Mechagodzilla is fighting Angurius, and that's the movie. Like that is delivered on in the movie, unlike the sham advertising material around Destroy All Monsters. It's really implying a fight that you're not really getting.
Yeah, and I said before, like, even if you don't technically get a lot of Godzilla action, it really relies on the funniness, the cheesiness, the enjoyability of the middle chunk. And I feel like we do get that with this movie. Like, granted, there are a couple scenes, like, when they're...
We spend too much time in the cave.
You spend a little bit too much time in the cave in the dark, like falling around and spaceman, I got you, or shit, stupid shit like that. But aside from that, the aliens are fun. The Interpol agent is fun, and the Godzilla fight scenes, even if they're kind of short, they fucking deliver.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun. Like him just like ripping off, getting like, you know, revealing the Mechagodzilla under the Godzilla suit that it's wearing is rad. And it's so cool just like having the real one show up and kind of like, fuck this, yeah, this imposter.
When you hear the triumphant roar of the actual Godzilla and it's the actual roar sound effect, I mean, everyone was going nuts and applauding in the theater. It was great.
I felt like a kid again.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a good moment.
It was great. Yeah. Needless to say, you know, if you've never seen the movie, Godzilla wins. Mechagodzilla is blown apart. The aliens, the Planet of the Apes style aliens die. And that's kind of the movie. It literally, you know, King Caesar goes, nestles back up into his little cave, like on the outside of this like shoreline. And then there's an explosion for no reason. And he's like, he's gone again. And then boom, the end, at least in our version.
Yeah. It was like they also cut off the credits on this one too. Cause it was just like, boom, like just a little slide showed up.
Just the end. And then boom, the movie's done.
Yeah.
Your turn is up, Milligan. We have been more than generous. Where are the Skittles you promised us?
Skittles. Chad, have you located the thing we were talking about earlier?
I have, Dave.
Perfect. Why don't you show our little guests what we do to giant metal moths in Sector 2?
With pleasure, Dave.
Mothra will be the last of her kind.
You share an even worse fate than your extinct friend.
No! Holy shit!
It burns! It burns!
They're fucking melting.
Jesus, Chad. I didn't think you were going to melt them. What the fuck, man?
Their bodies were tiny and frail. They never posed a threat. Now on to more important business, for your time is up, and the time for my ascension is at hand.
Oh shit, it's finally happening. Chad's gonna kill us all. Oh
man, I only got like 5 episodes.
Hey, it lasted longer than Cody.
Great. Thanks for the perspective, Dave. Really found a silver lining here, buddy.
Will Dave, Mike, and Ryan make it out alive? Find out next week. Apocalypse Video.